This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Podcast Network powered by Spotify. Coming Sal, coming to you live. Yeah, I'm saying this live. Doesn't matter when you're listening to it. Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
So much to cover. Always busy. Always busy. First week in December. Brother Bry, Thursday night football. We'll hit that mess of a game. The NBA in-season tournament. We'll hit that mess of a semi. No. It's a lot of fun. I don't want to get thrown off the ringer. I have to say only good things about it. The courts are beautiful, but we'll get into more about that. Army-Navy game coming up this weekend. Shark Tank, you guys are giving me your best bets. We're going to hit all of that. But Parlay Kid, first, rest in peace. We lost a legend this morning, and that is Mike McCarthy's appendix. No, we've lost Norman Lear, obviously, who I'm referring to. But Mike McCarthy had an appendectomy, or is about to have an appendectomy, but intends on coaching our Dallas Cowboys this Sunday against the Eagles. Parlay Kid, what do we think about this?
Yeah, well, whole intestinal stomach area has been through a lot with Mike McCarthy, kind of like Harry's. Let's face it. Same with Harry. Harry always has major issues in that area.
Diverticulitis, Darren, a couple times.
But McCarthy will, win one for Mike McCarthy this week. Right. Let's win one for Coach McCarthy. Let's do it. Even though he'll be on the sideline. What are they saying?
He says he plans on.
And then that's going to galvanize the team to see McCarthy there. This is exactly what the Cowboys need.
Darren, McCarthy and me are gamers, Darren. I did it from the hospital.
You're right. If you remember, I tweeted out. That was more impressive than the Jordan flu game at that time.
It was at the time. It really was. Until we learned he was faking it. Someone pointed out on Twitter, they asked me, what if Mike McCarthy's appendix is the only thing about him that knows something about football? Which is scares me a little, Bry. Maybe that's where his football brains are, right there in the appendix. We wish Coach McCarthy well. What else do we have on the ledge? Oh, Juan Soto might be going to the Yankees. Yankee fans, Brother Bry, Parlay Kid, trying to wrestle him away from the Padres. Bry, you like this? Of course you like this.
Yeah, look, I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. Look, I mean, they got Verdugo, too. I mean, they had a major issue in the outfield last year. It's a big piece of it, right? They had no left fielder. I mean, now you bring in two guys who I actually like. I mean, Verdugo is kind of a gamer. And then, I mean, look, Soto's right now, you could just look at it as a rental. I mean, I'm sure they're probably going to sign him if they're bringing him in. But I don't know. I mean, Darren can speak more to this, but I don't think we necessarily gave up a lot. I know they love King. I don't know.
It's all right.
I mean,
it's compared the Thorpe to kid, I like
compared to what the Padres had to give up for him and didn't reap any benefits. What they sent to Washington. I mean, I think they did pretty well here.
Well, reaping the benefits, parlay kid, is one thing, but you have to now. There is just so much pressure. So much. I know you're about the pressure. Just so much pressure on the Yankees. I almost wouldn't want them if I were you, but because of the pressure.
This pressure is what's the difference? I say every year the expectations to win it all. I can handle that pressure. I've been handling it forever. Okay.
That's right? True.
And the bottom line
who
is.
Handled, did you feel like you handle the pressure of the Yankees to win better than Harry handled the appendectomy a few years back?
100%. He had to go stay in the hospital. I haven't had to go to the hospital for any of this.
Yeah.
So obviously I handled mine a lot better. Yeah.
You should.
I certainly didn't. Do I like the move? I do. I do like it. It's exciting to be, but the prospect of a 13 to 15 year deal for Soto just makes me, it just kind of depresses me because I just know, you know, at what point are we going, oh my gosh, we're paying a DH for the next eight. Yeah. You know, it's going to be, could it be Stanton all over again, you know, 6 years from now? He's still so young, but you know, then you go, well, you know, he did hit like 242 a couple of years ago.
Sure.
I know he walks, so that can kind of balance it out. And in Yankee Stadium, he should have a field day. He should.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I do this. There's a lot of things to like about it. There's more to like than to not like about this. I do like King is good, not great. I think the kid Thorpe that they're giving up had a great minor league season, but he doesn't have overpowering stuff. He just knows how to pitch. So you never know how that's going to translate in the majors. He could be awesome. But I think the juice is worth the squeeze here, I guess, as they might say.
I think what's depressing about 13 to 15 year deals, I don't want to get morbid here, but we're getting up in age, Parley Kid. We hear 13 to 15 years, like, wow, am I going to be a Yankee fan still or a fan of breathing?
Yeah.
By the time this, this contract expires, it's like a mortgage. Gosh. You're like, oh man, I'm buying a house. I have a 30 year mortgage. Like, am I going to be around in 2053?
Well, it's funny you say that, Sal, because I was thinking of that the other day. Because like when you go through these players who have like 20 years, your careers, and I'm like, oh man, like when Wembanyama's like LeBron is, like, you guys are gonna be in your 70s and I'm gonna be in my 60s. Like, it's just insane. Yeah.
But he'll have been out of the league depressing. For 15 years. It's okay. He's not lasting. All right. Listen, you could tell I'm putting off talking about this miserable Thursday night football game, but we have to get to it. The time has come. New England at Pittsburgh. The Steelers are a 6-point favorite. The over-under is 30.5. That matches the lowest of the season, except the Jags and Browns are looking at the same number with backups. Actually, this has backups too. I couldn't even, I was like, oh, Trubisky, he's a backup. And so is Bailey Zappi. I think it's starting. I don't know. You know, I went back and forth with this number 6. I'm coming off an embarrassing bet. That was the Pats over 17.5 points last week. They scored 0. So not even close there. Disgusting. Awful. But my other choice is the Steelers. If I go with them with a backup quarterback who took 5 hours to get blown out by the Arizona Cardinals last week. Wow, this is terrible. This is a really bad game, Harry.
No, rough.
I probably want to take a teaser with one of the teams in the under, but everyone's got that. We'll get to that in a second. The Steelers, I'm gonna take the Patriots plus the points. Steelers are down a guard. The Pats played gritty defense. They've allowed 26 points over the last 3 weeks. I'm not sure where the offense is coming from, but I'm going to take the 6. I'm sorry to bail on the analysis here, but how smart can anyone sound talking about these two teams? 17-13 final.
Sure.
Just give me the points. Parley Kid, you and Harry have the same bet, but you said you got to it first, so I'll let you have first crack at analysis.
Absolutely. If you remember yesterday on the pod,
yeah.
I had said, oh, shoot, that's right. We're not even doing that game for FanDuel. Remember, I said I loved Pittsburgh
for TV, yeah.
A 6-point teaser. And let's face it, Harry stole this from me because he would have made it a 7-point teaser if he did it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we know that's what Harry would have done. So we obviously stole
it. 37.5 is nicer than 36.5. I'll say that.
37 is a key number. I should explain to people. The great Billy Walters taught me this. 37 is the 3 of over-unders. So I think
2017.
Right. 8% of games land on 37. So if you could get it and tease it under that number, parlay. Well, now you want to go. Well, tell us what your bet is here.
No, I'm just taking this 6-point teaser. Pittsburgh is basically a pick 'em here to win the game. And the under now is under 36.5.
Right.
What's there not to like? You got two anemic offenses, two good defenses. This should, you know, we're going to see a lot of punts in this game. Very few plays down the field. Does New England even want to win this game? Do they even want to contest? I don't understand their motivation. If they wanted to win, I think, is this kid Cunningham still on their roster? Wouldn't you put him in there?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't give him a shot.
Let him run the ball like 15, 20 times a game. Give him a lot of bootleg action passes. He maybe would break. He'd be their most dynamic offensive player.
Especially now with Stevenson out and whatever.
Right. You know, Zeke's not breaking anything. I mean, what do we got here? I mean, there's no way. I'd be shocked if this would have go over 36.5. And I like the Steelers to win. The game means so much more to them than the Pats. So much more.
Yeah, the
more.
Steelers at least have a bunch of underachieving players, right? With the Najee Harris and the Pickens, and we'll get to all of these. And obviously Trubisky every time he steps on the field. The Patriots just have nobodies with this DeMario Douglas. Like, imagine the big news is DeMario Douglas isn't playing, may not play. Whoa, my goodness. Like, who's DeMario Douglas? Who cares?
I know.
Someone's supposed to get him the ball.
He led them in receiving 3 of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he's the only one who could get open. It's on the side. All right, Harry, you have the same teaser, Pittsburgh in the under.
Yeah, just like Sal, you mentioned, no Stevenson coming historically horrendous on offense. They scored just 13 points over the last 3 games. Over the last 4 games, the game total has finished on an average of 18 points per game. Tomlin is great in prime time. Got to bounce back to the Steelers after that letdown against Arizona, gave up 24 to the Cards. Previous 7 games, the Steelers defense had given up 20 or less. So, yeah, I'm on with Parlay Kid, Pitt, and under 36.
Let's go, Harry. Let's go.
Let's do it, Dave.
I don't know why I'm taking the 6, other than, I mean, the Steelers do have a crazy stat, like 6 or 7 out of their 11 games. I think 6 out of 11, they've scored under 17 points. I'm like, just score double digits, Patriots. You'll cover this number. But Bri, you are like, whatever, there's not going to be points. Why are we being dumb? Let's take an adjusted number here.
Well,
right?
I'm taking adjusted because this game sucks so much. I want something like really big to root for. So I'm going under 17.5 total points in this game at plus 680. There's some pretty good adjusted numbers. If you think there's going to be less than 7.5 points in this game, 70-1, less than 11.5 points, it's 20-1. But I like the 17.5. Like we all know the unders have dominated in night games, right, so far this season. And last week, I would say that doesn't count but because both the Cowboys and the Seahawks were coming off rest. But the Patriots' last 3 games have been 17 points, 16 points, 6 points. So 39 combined points in the last 3 games. So unless there's some crazy turnovers happening in this game, which is possible, I just don't see a lot. And now you have Trubisky leading the Steelers team they themselves have averaged 12 points per game over their last 3. I just don't see where points are coming from in this game here. So I like that under 17.5 adjusted plus 680. I think this is like, I don't know. I'm scared of I think I'm leaning Patriots, but I'm scared of like a 10-3 Steelers win here. I could see this 10-7. I don't know, 10-6, 10-7.
All right. You should be around in the third quarter. You should be alive with this
bet. You're just going to be praying for a touchdown at some point.
Yeah. You might be able to hedge out of this too. God forbid. The total's gone under in 9 of the Steelers' last 10 games. This is a bad one, guys. It's a bad one. Yeah, I can see Al Michaels just not showing up. you know, they had the graphic last week I'm going to touch on this on Cousin Sal's winning weekend on FanDuel TV. They had the graphic last week with TJ Watt and Bill Belichick promoting this game. Have you ever seen that in your life where it was a player and a coach like on the graphic, like next week, Steelers, Patriots, I go to Three Rivers. Crazy. Like, I've not ever seen that. And
Patriots have nobody.
Especially
they
with a coach
themselves. Yeah.
Especially with a coach who isn't like, I don't know.
Like,
you know,
affable.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's who you had to throw
Charming.
Out there.
Right.
You know
right,
what I
right.
mean? Like, right. Like, all right. He's likable. You know. I like Belichick, but you know,
at least put his son on there.
He's
got a pretty mullet and stuff. Yeah. Right. That's fun to look at. Yeah.
I don't know. What were we going to say, Harry?
Doesn't even dress well.
That's against all odds, putting Harry on over any of us on the ad. You know what I mean? It's like, really? They put Harry?
I guess I set myself up for that one.
You got it, Harry. But at least Harry dresses well. We know that. All right. Let's do our props here. I'm going to make it, you know, everything's under. I'm going to go Trubisky under 180.5 passing yards. Get that for -114. He's hit under this number in 10 of his last 11 home games. And over that stretch, Harry, he averages 88 yards passing over that 11-game stretch. So he's only under by almost 100 yards in that regard. You know, they've held Herbert to like low games. DeVito, Minshew, these are not amazing names other than Herbert, but even Herbert only had 212 last week against New England. Late October, I mean, this is what Trubisky does. Late October, he threw, this is against the Jags, who was it? He threw 27 times and ended up with 138. So dump off, check down city for Trubisky. Give me the under 180.5. Harry, what you got?
I'm going to go Steelers Deontay Johnson under 41.5 receiving yards, Sal, at -114. He's been in and out of the Pittsburgh lineup this season. Now Trubisky's in. Not sure if he's going to gel with him at all. Just 11 total receptions in his last four games. He's had he had 33 yards in the Arizona game in the rain last week, and is averaging just 29 yards receiving a game in his last four games. I'm going under 41.5.
All right, Brother Bri, you, what do we have? We have under, oh, this is fun too.
Yeah, okay. This is a prop that, something that Parley Kid would probably do. You get the Pats first drive punt and the Steelers first drive punt at +150. Look, this game was going to be terrible with the starters, right? This is one of the few games, right? If Mac Jones and Pickett were playing, I don't know if it's not even a better game, right? I mean, it's probably it's the same outcome regardless. I didn't do a ton of research looking back at this. I do know the Steelers scored a field goal on their first possession last week, but that was with Pickett here. But again, two backups coming in. I think both teams are going to be conservative to start. I mean, the Pats, I know, have punted the last few games, their first drive here. So I just love it. I don't know. This is going to be one of those games where, aside from two or three drives, everything's going to be a punt.
Yeah, so you have to avoid a turnover, and you have to avoid a turnover.
Yeah, I mean that's possible, but yeah, let's go two quick three and outs.
Plus number, yeah. And would you hedge after, let's say, the Pats receive the kick and go three and out? Would you hedge then for the Steelers? No, forget it. It's just it's a lot to think about. All right, Parlay Kid. Wow, God forbid, you're going with an over here. Good luck.
Yes. Well, look, Pickens over 40.5 yards. He's underused. I would think Pickens, he seems to be, their only, next to Warren, their only playmaker on this team. He averages 62.5 yards a game receiving. He's gone over this number in three out of his last four, went for 86 yards last game. Well, maybe a lot of that, some of that came late in the game down. That's true, but went for 58 against Cincinnati a couple weeks back. He's had long receptions of 38 and 43 over the last two games, which would put him over this number in basically one catch. Right. So somebody's got to make a play or two for the Steelers. I'm betting on Pickens to be that guy. 40.5 is a low number for him to go over. Let's take it at -114.
All right. It's a killer. Killer in fantasy. Killer.
Yeah, I'm sitting him against you, Sal.
I wouldn't play him either, fantasy-wise.
No, because, and we all probably, what did you get him at, Harry? Like a fifth round or fourth? You don't remember. But I drafted him.
Yeah, Harry took him like early. Didn't we make fun of Harry for taking him so early in the fantasy draft?
Yes.
Who's one win away from the playoffs, Steve?
you're in the garbage division.
Mikey Meatballs, clip that Chad, because you know what happens. You know what happens when Harry brags? It all falls apart.
Yeah, you're right.
That's it. So there it's you go. Over.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we all spent a lot on. Let me see now. Now I have to look and see where Harry drafted him.
Was it the fourth round? It was early.
I don't think it was that early.
It was early. All I know is
I don't think it was the fourth round.
We're destined for fourth round. Yeah. Harry versus Brother John for the third and fourth place game. Loser gets nothing. Loser gets nothing.
And can I tell
you
something? This is what's good about CBS. What's bad is that we have to pay $160 every year. What's good about it, you could see that Harry, not only did he take George Pickens in the fourth round, but it only took him 13 seconds. Elapsed time to make the selection. So good
job.
What
about my Mostert pick? That was pretty good.
Yeah, you got Mostert like six, right? Or whatever. Yeah. It was a good one.
Who cares? All right, listen. Who cares about, I say who cares, and then I throw to our first touchdown. Like, who really cares? Because we are one for, what I say, 48. We did this 12 weeks. We took Thanksgiving off and went right back to our losing ways. Last Thursday, first touchdown. Who scored it?
Harris.
Oh, when we won. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of last week. Was it Metcalf who scored the first touchdown?
Metcalf. Okay. Yes.
All right. So now we're looking at these numbers, and you know, who knows if there'll be even a touchdown, and that's something you could bet. No touchdown. Jalen Warren plus 390, Ezekiel Elliott plus 850, Deontay Johnson plus 950. Those are the top three. I know I'm taking the Patriots plus the points, but I'm going to go with the Steelers defense, which was 24-1. Let's see if it changed. I don't see why it would. Oh, of course it did. 22-1 now. All right. So now I get 22-1 on the Steelers defense, as if it matters. I'm taking a big swing here. They have two defensive touchdowns this year, actually both against the Browns. Can you believe they won that game? They had two defensive touchdowns against the Browns. That's when Chubb goes out and they barely win that game. That was crazy. That was a Monday nighter. Anyway, lots of different ways this could happen, Bri. Hopefully for your sake, it doesn't happen on the first drive, but Zappy strip sack, interception, Mac Jones, if he's in there, several ways. Highsmith Watt can get it done. 22-1 Steelers defense, first score. Parley Kid, you're going the other way, which is interesting because you have the Steelers, but you're going Pat's defense.
Yeah,
the opposite
of
what I'm doing.
We probably could. Yeah, we'll flip-flop there. Which
should we switch? Should we just switch picks?
Look, if you win, I'll feel like it's a win, and vice versa, right, Sal. Because doesn't it just feel like this game, like the defenses have just as good of a chance to score anybody else?
Definitely.
So why not just take the long shot Pat's defense at 30-1? You have the Steelers defense covered already.
Yeah, we got this.
Who's the short five? Najee Harris, we're going to go with again, or Zeke Elliott. I'm sorry. I think by the time there's an offensive score in this game, there might have been a defensive score first. So let's just take that. Let's take the defense. Let's do it.
I love it. Bri, Harry, you don't have to give your picks if you want. Darren and I have this covered. It's either going to be the Steelers defense or the Patriots defense.
I don't know why we're even doing this anymore. Really.
This has got 9-6 written all over it, right?
Well, that's what I was thinking. So I know if we're taking the Steelers and the Pats defense, the no touchdown is 11-1, right?
11-1, I'm
saying.
And
the funny thing is, like, I'm trying to think if 11-1 is really good or bad, because we've seen in the past games where no touchdowns, 50-1, 100-1, I've seen in the past, right?
Yep.
So those odds are solid. You definitely could see a 9-6.
Well, here's the thing. It was 6-0 last week with the Patriots. There was no touchdown. Was it 11? It was probably higher than 11-1.
Guys, I was going to take Trubisky at 15-1. I'm taking the no touchdown.
Wow.
No touchdown. No touchdown, 11-1. I'm changing it up. Michael, get that.
Why not?
I'm taking it. Yeah, because look.
It hit last year, didn't it? Once.
Yeah.
I thought the no touchdown.
It hit last week.
But
yes, true. I'm talking about like on a Thursday, on a game we picked last year.
It was
Denver and the Colts or something, wasn't it?
Something.
You try to analyze this game and you're looking for touchdowns and you're like, oh, this guy has one. This guy has two. The Patriots defense has given up basically nothing to tight ends, basically nothing to running backs, basically nothing to running quarterbacks. So it's like, I looked up and down. I was like, you know what? 11-1. That's just as good as anything else on the board.
Yeah.
Can I just, and Harry, we'll get to yours in a second, but I think Paulie Kidd, you mentioned any quarter to end scoreless was -105. Did you say that? But there's another one too in the game specials. Each team to score in two or more quarters. Shouldn't be asking a lot. +135. It's only +135 that each team scores in half the game. It's crazy.
Wow.
not a touchdown. Score.
Yeah.
Safety.
Could be 6-6. Yeah. Six. Two field goal. Yeah.
I mean, I want to take that, but it's a
could be 8-4. Could be 8-4.
All right, Harry. Atrocious spelling of Freiermuth, but that's what F R E I R.
I was on a plane.
You did E I R twice and then Muth. All right, good. I mean, I was on a plane. That's sorry. Scott Gagnon-esque right there.
Brian's going 11-1. I'm going to go 11-1 with Freiermuth as well. He's been targeted 16 times. Last two games, 12 catches there against Arizona and Cincinnati in those games. He's second in touchdown receptions on the team. A lot of times we like trying tight ends. And Sal, look, you won the first and only time with the Steelers. Let's make it number two. I'm going to take Freiermuth at 11-1.
Yeah, number two is right. Yeah, so that's it. We went over that game. I mean, we gave 20 minutes on the Steelers-Patriots game. I feel like we should get like a Peabody right, or some that's kind why, of podcast
that's why
award.
But in all honesty, that's why. Bet one of these adjusted unders. Look, if it goes under, it's a better game. It's just I like betting these really low unders because I like rooting for it. I don't mind the games when they're that terrible when you actually have money on that side. I mean, you might as well because it's not going to be a good game regardless. I mean,
betting against bad quarterbacks. All right. Let's take a break. Then we'll get to the NBA. We're down to final four in the in-season tournament. We'll be right back. All right, guys, this is it. We've been waiting for this Thursday night, Bucks Pacers, Thursday night, Lakers Pelicans, and then Saturday night, join your Ringer friends in Las Vegas. They're all going to be there, all the big ones, for the finals of the inaugural in-season tournament here. Bucks are a 4-point favorite over the Pacers, Milwaukee's home. 254.5, Harry. I know you have a lot to say about that. The Lakers are a 1.5-point favorite over the Pelicans, 229.5. They got by the Suns, the Lakers did last night here. Bucks plus 160 to win the whole thing. Lakers plus 230. Pelicans plus 330. Pacers plus 480. All right, Harry, give us something on the Thursday games you're targeting. I said Bucks Pacers.
I love, do not be afraid to bet over 254.5 on the Bucks Pacers. Listen, the Pacers are the good with the Pacers. They're first in the NBA in scoring, almost 129 points a game. They're first in the NBA in field goal percentage at 51%. The bad news, they give up 125 a game. And by the way, the Bucks, they're second in the league in field goal percentage at 50%. Milwaukee scored a season high, beating the Knicks the other night, 146. Tyrese Halliburton had a triple-double in their game against Boston the other night. And he scored 33 points or more in four of his last six. He's been fantastic for this team. He's been three games ago, one assist shy of six straight double-doubles. You know, Giannis and Dame are going to have huge games also. Should be a six showing in Sin City. Give me over 254.5. Do not be afraid.
All right. Don't be afraid. Brian, are you afraid? Or because it looks like you're taking something else would make you think you're afraid.
I am not afraid. I kind of like it. Yeah, you would think there'd be better defense, but it's not necessarily the case in some of these games, especially that Knick game last night. But yeah, I'm going to take
Bry. Also, they probably don't want to. With this kind of tournament, they don't want anybody getting hurt because the defense is going to be relaxed.
You went too far here, Harry. You went too.
Defense is going to be relaxed.
You made a little sense, but either they're trying or they're not. I mean, it's like $1 million.
They're trying,
on line, right?
trying yeah. to score, not much defense.
Okay, they're trying to score, but. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's hard to say. I mean, you saw in the Laker game last night, there's some good defense potentially right. there. But I like the Pacers at plus 480. Look, the idea behind this in-season tournament, right, was to give the mid or the low-level teams a chance to win like some bogus title, right? So it's not meant for the Bucks. It's not meant for the Lakers. And some of these other better teams have not played well, right? So I'm pulling hard for the Pacers here. And, you know, it's possible with their offense, right? They could just get very hot in one game and just outshoot Milwaukee. And look, Milwaukee shot over 60% from three against the Knicks. They outscored the Knicks by 48 from three. And the Knicks, too, that was a game early on. They were playing some iso ball. The Pacers are going to move the ball well. I think this could definitely be a track meet. And if it's a track meet for one game, even if the Bucks play better defense, they could just have an off shooting night the way they shot against the Knicks. They're on a neutral, you know, this is in Vegas, right? So it's on a neutral site. They might not have a good shooting night. So I'm gonna take the Pacers. I'm just gonna say the Pacers beat the Pelicans. So Pacers to beat the Pelicans. Okay. Both underdogs here.
Right. So that's the neutral site, just the Saturday game, right? These other two semifinal games are one's at Crypto, whatever the hell, and the other's in Milwaukee, right?
No,
they're
Vegas.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's
a big deal.
This is a big deal.
This is where Harry is saying that early game is like 2 p.m., right?
2 p.m. Pacific.
Right, I know, but I just thought it was whatever. Okay. All right. Oh.
Well, you're not going to Vegas you're not going to Vegas just for one finals game. Don't tell me why
I'm going to Vegas. I'm not going to see it at all. No, I guess anything to run away from that football game makes sense. Look,
You can make a weekend of it, right? If you have, look, what you should have done is you should have went there for the Oregon Washington game, stayed for about eight, nine days, gone to this tournament, gone to the Raiders game. There's a lot.
Fly to Gillette for the Army Navy, then back to Vegas for the. I like this. Okay, I like the way you're thinking. All right, Parlay Kid, I didn't know where the hell the games had played. You think I could figure out who's going to win MVP? The only thing I'll say is I have Giannis plus 650 from 2 weeks ago. Now he's plus 430, which is a nice number. If you have, I guess the days of like Giannis and the Bucks numbers being the same or over since Lillard's in there. So Lillard's the favorite to win the MVP at plus 380. Giannis 430, Ingram 430, and LeBron also 430. So I have Giannis. I'll stick with him plus 430. 35, 8, 10, and 3 steals yesterday to get into the semifinals. But Lillard averaging 30, 5, and 7. It's just weird to see Giannis not the most favored buck on the board here for MVP, but I guess it makes sense. I'm gonna roll the dice with my bet I made a couple of weeks ago. Parlay Kid, you have Halliburton. Now let's talk this through because his odds are not better than those that Brother Bry took for the Pacers to win.
Yeah, so if you want to talk me through it, Sal, because I know it's not exactly, this is for, so,
there are more if you want to listen to in-depth analysis on we're Army Navy guys, okay, but if you want real analysis on the in-season tournament, there are other places on the Ringer to go to it, but I don't think a lot of people are talking about MVP. But I think what you brought up earlier is that Halliburton could maybe, the odds suggesting, win it without the Pacers winning. They'd have to get to the finals probably, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm talking about here, right? So how does this make sense? I caught these odds for the Pacers. Odds have changed. Halliburton's odds have changed. Pacers is somehow 480 to win this whole thing. Halliburton's plus 440 to win MVP. But why not? What the heck? It's this in-season tournament. It's the biggest thing going in all of sports right now. It's amazing.
Yes, it is. That's true.
I caught the fever, NBA fever at its best right now. How does the regular season playoffs, how can it even compare?
Live up to this. I know.
To this.
I know.
It's like a shame. It's like, just end the season now, maybe. Yeah. But why not? Look, Halliburton and Harry has already mentioned. You know what's crazy about the Pacers? They have 8 guys who average in double figures. And a lot of that's because Halliburton, who I have as the NBA assist leader this year, I got him at plus 250 or something like that to start the season. I think he's running away with it. He's an assist machine.
Well, he has 13. Does he have 13 a game in this tournament, or is that this year? I jotted it down.
I think this year he's 12.
He's at 11.9 for the season. So he's at 13 for the tournament, Sal.
Yeah,
right. He's been amazing. He's starting to get hitting triple doubles even. Having the season of his life, and it's crazy because Brian was always saying the Knicks should take Halliburton, and they took Toppin, and now they're both playing together. So what a waste of another draft that was for the Knicks. Hey, but we got 2 second-round picks for Obi. Very nice job there. But yes, Halliburton's fantastic. This team plays at a it's up and down. Like Harry said, I love Harry's bet as well. I mean, that over, if you watched the Nick Buck last game last night, how does this Milwaukee game against the Pacers not go over, Harry? Great call on that. I think it's going to shatter that. The only thing that would concern me is the Bucks. they can't shoot like 70% from three again.
Right.
Because only teams do that against the Knicks. Even the Pacers, who play more defense, they can't shoot like that. I don't think they can. And especially because they'll be on a neutral site, Harry. They're not going to be on their home court shooting on those home rims. But I like it to go over. I like Halliburton. He's the best player in this tournament because Lillard and Giannis could kind of like split those games when Halliburton is the headliner.
He's the guy
for the Pacers. And they could still lose, but he could. This guy could go for a triple-double. And they're like, this guy's been the best player in this tournament. He gets it. I win.
The only thing I don't like about it, Parley Kid, is there's never been an in-season tournament MVP. It's never been from never a team happened. That's not won.
Right. It's never happened before.
It's never happened the other way either.
That's why you think I'd get like more better odds on this. You'd think I'd get some
even FanDuel's like, I don't know, guys. Just let them play and see what happens. Yeah, whatever. I will say this, though. The semifinal games, 4-point spread, 1.5-point spread, just about exactly what we're looking at in the college football semifinals. Coincidence? Yes. I would say yes. It's a coincidence. Sure. All right, listen. Let's take a break. We got Army-Navy coming back and coming up in Sharp Tank Picks. We'll be right back. All right, Army-Navy. Every year they seem to do this. Army favored by 2.5, 28.5 is the over-under against Navy. Brad, we brought it up. We're not even fazed by the over-unders with the 28s and the 20. I mean, we have 2 30.5s in the NFL. We had Iowa all year around 27, 28, 29. And now it's Army-Navy. Okay, there's another one. But I'm looking at this. This is exciting because it's at Gillette Stadium for the first time ever. I think they said Belichick's going. He'll attend because they play on Thursday night. Not that that matters to me, but both teams 5-6. I was trying to look it up. I know Army lost to LSU 62-0. I know they beat Air Force 23-3. I know Navy lost to Air Force 17-6. So those are low scoring games. Navy lost. I think the only game I watched from start to finish between these two teams is when Navy lost to Notre Dame 42-3. Because that was a standalone game, right?
Yeah.
In August, right? It's the only one I watched. So I'm trying to piece it together. I'm gonna take much like the Steelers Patriots game. I'm gonna take the underdog and the under here. I'm taking Navy plus 8.5, under 34.5. If you look over the past 9 meetings between Army and Navy, the underdogs are 7-2 against the spread. And here I am getting Navy on a teaser, teasing through the 7, getting 8.5. Army, if you look at their numbers, pretty identical, except Army has 22 turnovers, which is 120th in the nation. So I think Navy, I don't know, I think it's a 16-14 game. Navy rushes for over 200 yards, which is what they averaged. And I'm going to say fullback Alec Texka, who is over 700 yards this year, is the MVP with 39 rushing yards. There you go. Classic. Everyone watch. If you love the country, watch. And if you have nothing else to do. 16-14. Parley Kid, what you got? You're with me with Navy.
I like yours. I was going to take that, but I didn't want to double up on a parley. But
no,
speaking of college football,
yeah.
Sal, like, you know, people kind of like my rant about Florida State yesterday. So much so that I got a call from Ron DeSantis down in Florida.
Is that right?
I might be testifying in front of Congress next week on behalf of this potential lawsuit for Florida State. Yeah, and I'm going to give Congress peace of my mind all around, Sal. It's not just going to be about football. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of things I want to touch on. So it might be a really good opportunity for me.
Yeah,
so,
you and me, Paul Ron, get out there.
Yeah,
spread the word.
It's going to be good. And they should be. Everybody's agreeing with me. They know it. So anyway, yes.
There were a couple on Twitter that didn't, by the way, but it's okay.
There were a couple that didn't. There might have been a couple, but they can't validate. The quarterback's hurt. All right. So what?
I told Joel Klatt. I talked to Joel Klatt about it. I said exactly what I said yesterday. I said, listen, it's wrong. He shouldn't have done it. But as a fan, I like it because it's a tighter game. And and he's like, well, don't you realize you're contradicting yourself? I said, absolutely, I realize it. I don't know what to say.
What did he think?
Same thing. They got screwed, but he also understands. I don't know. People also like made a case for Georgia. Like they're just like, you know what he said, which was interesting about it. It's our same theory with boxing judges. You know how we always said there should be five judges instead of three, because if it's 2-1, it could get screwy. But you know, it's less of a screw job. You know, if you got five guys, you're counting on three men or women to make the right decision. He said there should be 100 people deciding, not 13 on a committee. And that makes sense. You get a bigger sample size, you get a bigger, you know, input. You're not going to get 1,000 meatheads thinking the wrong way, right?
So anyway, I don't know. I'm sorry about that.
Go ahead. That's all.
But I'm going to go. I'm taking. I guess I love yours. Love your teaser. That makes sense. It's better than what I'm just going to take Navy and the points. Partial to potential Navy quarterback Xavier Arline. Kind of friendly with one of my sons. And he's playing down there. I think they play their best when he's quarterbacking. He's had a couple good wins this year for them. He's also on the lacrosse team, just so you know. You could tell the type of kid. Imagine playing football and lacrosse down at the Naval Academy. Exceptional young man. So let's root for him. I think last year, he came up just short in this game.
Yeah. Kind of a double overtime. Hey, Brian and I had the under. Double overtime.
That's right.
Screw touchdowns all over the place.
And also, this is a big game because they're playing, not that they're playing for really, I guess, could they be playing for any type of bowl game? I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was trying to think of
the winner goes 500. That's a big that's a huge deal for these teams, right?
So I'm going to look this up because is there an open bowl that hasn't committed anybody yet?
I actually don't think there is, though.
There aren't?
Probably not.
I'll look it up. Right? All right, so you're taking 2.5
here. I'll take the 2.5 with Navy. Go Xavier. Go Navy. Go everybody in that game. It's a game to root for. I went to it once or maybe twice in my young career.
Oh, yeah?
Kent Williams. I went with Kent Williams' brother went to Annapolis.
That's fun.
Philly, D?
We went to a game in Philly twice. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I looked up Army-Navy bowls just to see if we could get, you know, any info on if these teams are eligible after a win. And I'm seeing U.S. Navy Memorial Porcelain Bowl, $125 on eBay. So I don't know if everyone's done their Christmas shop. But it looks like I'm going to have to dig a little deeper.
This is like their bowl game, though. This is their bowl game.
Of course.
Sure it is.
You know. Now, listen, Harry, I see you have Army wins by 1-5 plus 430. But before you made this pick, were you aware that Navy has two players with X's in their names? Parley Kid mentioned quarterback Xavier and the fullback Alex Texka. So does that change your mind? I know you love the X's. Wow.
Oh. It would if there's X's and Q's. No Q's?
I don't know if there's Q's. I've not had good luck with Google, so I'm not going to even look into it right now.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Army. And yeah, FanDuel's got a lot of stuff on this game. So I'm going to take him to win by 1-5 points. Plus 430. You guys mentioned both come in at 5-6. Quarterbacks have very similar numbers. Same with their leading rushers on each team and the leading receivers. Army comes into this game winners of three straight. They've won this game. They won this game, last year by 3 points. 7 of the last 9 between these two have been decided by one score games. And Navy just 24 points combined the last 2 games. Army wins in a close one. 13-10, I get there at plus 430.
All right. It's a good number, plus 430 for this game. Oh, Brian, I'm looking at these FCS numbers too.
Yeah.
South Dakota State, minus 1,300. Montana, minus 900.
Yeah.
That's Friday game.
Yeah, those are tough.
That's going to be a cold-ass game. Montana at home on a Friday night. That's going to be something else.
The snow last week.
Last week was the snow.
Albany's getting 4. I think Albany's getting 4.5, I think, right?
Against
Idaho?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Albany was Stony Brook's rivals, but I'm rooting for them. I mean, they're in the final 8.
This might be the worst podcast we've ever done, but I'm trying to think. Yeah.
The games we're talking about,
between
right?
Not even knowing the in-season thing and the freaking Pittsburgh, Steelers, New England,
Army,
the
Navy.
It just shows
anyone's fault.
It just shows us how well-rounded we are, guys. We're talking FCS football. Come on. It's still good football. I mean,
tanking.
It's quality football.
Look, we haven't gotten a sharp tank yet.
Hey, go Cortland and D3 football. They're in the They're in the semifinals. Go Cortland. SUNY Cortland. Let's go, Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I feel like we're doing like a marathon podcast. We try to get through 24 hours and we're on hour 22 and a half or something.
Darren, Sal remembers SUNY Cortland. My fraternity went down one weekend to have a mixer with a sorority. We got booted out. We got booted out of their sorority house and off campus in 2 hours.
What was the name of your frat, Harry? What were you?
Zeta Chi Zeta.
And you made it, you were that, you were in that frat your whole time at
He's still there. Yeah. He's still like the treasurer or something.
I was a president for a semester.
No, Harry, this will be the best thing you take from this podcast. Harry was the treasurer. He pledged, and just the pledging was terrific because he's not supposed to tell me anything about this. And he would call me and tell me everything that went on in Hell Night. And like, you know, like, I mean, it was
someone could have died. Someone definitely could have died.
It was monitored. It's monitored now, the hazing, but it was crazy back then. Like Harry, and he lived with a fraternity brother, but he was pledging at the time. And he's like, and then we were in a bathtub and they shoveled snow on us and they peed in the bathtub and we had to stay there and they kept shoveling snow. And his buddy Chow Main would get on the phone, rest in peace. And he would say, Harry, Sal, you know I love you, but Harry, you got to shut the fuck up. You're not supposed to be telling anyone about this time. He's like, all right. He's like, all right. I won't. Chow Main would hang up on the other
Chow
end.
Main. Chow Main, right. Holy
Chow Main
smokes.
Was great.
I haven't heard that name in 30 years. Chow
then
Main.
Then I just start up talking to Sal again, what we're doing.
We had to push a lit cigarette around the house with our nose, the lit side to our nose. Like, it's just crazy.
Was the Leaf story part of the
No, that was
the pledging?
Hell Night was his own. Hell Night was 0 degrees outside. Zero. Freezing.
Harry, be honest. Did you ever steal any money to gamble as president? Do you ever take any of the funds?
Steal money to gamble or steal money? Oh.
So that's what I'm getting at. But wait, one more thing.
There was no doubt.
Listen, you were part of the deal too, Sal, when we were booking.
One more thing on the pledging though, real quick. You had to. One of the things is you had to carry a goldfish around all day, and you became close with the goldfish, and you ate lunch with the goldfish, and at the end of the day, you had to eat the goldfish in front of everybody, right, in the student union, right?
Yeah.
It's actually sad. They should make like a children's book about that. Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, so then Harry, but they liked Harry and he was good with money and they couldn't have parties anyway, these deadbeats, because they hadn't paid their beer tab in like years.
Right.
And Harry was the smart one who said, hey, if you guys pay your dues, we could use that money to pay off our beer tab. And that's exactly what happened. And so Harry was the toast of everybody loved him in the town because he got beer back at Zeta Chi Zeta. But then he took it a step further when he ran for president. He got in as president and then urged everybody to use their dues money towards parlays, but he would pick the team. And that didn't work out as great as the beer.
Not good.
Oh my gosh.
A little shady on the numbers we were too.
Honestly, how is this? I get the cartoon is taken off, but this should just be a late 80s retro show about you and Harry at college. Yeah. I mean,
it was
this is how it should be. Somebody picked that idea up, for crying out loud.
Sororities and fraternities ruled that town that time.
Yeah, definitely. They really did. All right. Where are we now with this Army Navy nonsense?
I was going to say, I had the under. We didn't even get to me, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry.
Look,
yeah. Look,
I had the under. Look, I'll be honest. I hated your score of 16-14. So it's really bad.
Doesn't
but it's
matter.
Dumb to, it's dumb to go over here. There's no reason. More often than not, right? These service academy games are just. They're locks pretty much for unders, except for last year's ridiculousness. I mean, it never should hit. And you said before, 23 points and 26 points for these teams against Air Force early, right? And look, these guys just play. They know exactly what they're doing. They run the same exact things. They play so hard defensively. It's just going to be a really close, low scoring game. But by the way, though, The uniforms this year, I feel like, are fantastic, especially Army's. If you look at Army's, Army's uniforms, phenomenal. Really good.
Yeah, these are like wrestling partners in practice there that just they know each other's every move, right?
Yes,
and so you end up staring at each other.
Right. That's a great
right.
analogy.
It's like me and Finken, and we couldn't score points off each other in practice. Although he knows I would kill him in a match.
You couldn't pin Finken every practice. I mean, that's
I just think we were just tired and didn't really care during practice. But he knows. I
don't want to start this three times again. On this.
Well,
pod,
now you're going to call him and tell him exactly what I said. But so I'll leave that. I don't care. It's fine. Do whatever you want. All right, let's do Shark Tank right now and then get out of here. Harry started. Did you guys all lose last week?
Yep, again.
Yeah.
Again. Oh, no. 2 weeks come in a row. Come on, Brian.
Right, this, might be good. This might be my
Stroud touchdown.
This might be 3 weeks. This might be 3 weeks. We might be
all. Oh, that's right. Darren was close with that. That again. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to do a two-team cross-sports parlay. I'm going to go first NFL, Dallas-Philly. Over 51.5. Look, the last two games for the Eagles, 61 and 71 points. Dallas is a complete juggernaut, especially at home. Four straight games, 40 plus at home. And in those four games in Dallas, 76, 55, 66, and 63 Good. Points were scored in those games. 74
we're playing for
points,
the appendix. We're playing for the appendix. Yeah.
74, right. 74 points last year between these two and Big D in 2021. 62 and 77 were scored. I don't know how the defense is going to stop anybody. Dak, last six games, 20 touchdown passes. Hurts. Seven of the last eight games, he's had at least one rushing touchdown. Over 51, Dallas and Philly with the MLS Soccer Championship. I'm going to go over 1.5 goals at minus 370. Columbus Crew versus LAFC. In LAFC's last seven straight matches, they've scored at least one goal. And how about this? Columbus Crew, last match against Cincinnati to get to the finals, won 3-2. But Columbus Crew has scored at least one goal. Has scored at least one goal in 29 straight matches. So give me that game, that match to be over 1.5. Dallas over 51.5 with Philly at plus 142.
Jeez, we've officially lost everybody on this podcast.
I don't know what happened. There used to be good games available. Oh, like gosh. Used to be good everything. All right.
Darren, it's the MLS final. Come
all right.
On.
I give it usually, to you. No, I hear you.
I'm throwing some we got plenty of soccer fans out there. I'm throwing them a bone.
I mean, what do you think about their goaltender, though?
Well, it's all fine, but Harry, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Bri, help me out. When he picks an over-under in soccer, I feel he's hitting like at 16, 17%. Because I feel it's always
minus 370, Sal.
I get it, but it's always like this, 10 in a row, 11 out of 12, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like
29 in a row with a goal.
You're like, no score, 68 minutes in. You believe this shit? I can tell you this feel. All
right. Right.
Screw all right. job.
All right. Well, Bri, this is
I was 2 for 2 in the
what
Premier
do you got
League
here?
Today.
I'm glad everybody's using the Cowboys at least.
Look, mine's kind of just more of a fun thing too, because there's a couple of things going on this weekend that I just kind of want to touch base on. But I'm doing a weird parlay too. Like Harry, I'm going. Look, first I'm going the Cowboys money line. I will say I like the Cowboys in general this weekend. I mean, I'm gonna probably mm-hmm. lower that number down to 3. I really like them off of rest, and you know, the Eagles have just had a gauntlet schedule. I think this is ripe for the picking again here for the Cowboys. So I like them just money line here. Devin Haney.
Big Dom also apologized. That seems like a soft move. That seems pretty soft.
That is a little soft. Out of security. Come on.
Big Dom-ish.
Come on. That's a little weak. I like that you did call this this should be the appendix ball. They really should play for
them. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I do like that. But yeah, I'm going for boxing this weekend. I mean, it's a pretty good fight. I mean, Devin Haney, I mean, is a world-class fighter, really great fighter. I don't see him losing at all this weekend. I will say I think it's probably a very boring one-sided fight against Progress. And then I'm going Song Yadong in UFC minus 450. He's minus 450 favorite as well against Chris Gutierrez, who is a good fighter. I think Gutierrez is good, but I just think Yang will be too much for him. So those three plus 132. But I will tell you, in general, Cowboys, I'm going to have a lot of money on the Cowboys this week.
All right. Mm. Okay. Boy, I'll
say
this.
And if they lose, I'm going to come on here, fired up, all mad at you and Darren
it's not
this
important.
Weekend if they lose.
It's not important. If it loses, it's because of the appendix. Hey, if you want an exciting bet, bet the undercard, the biggest favorite on the undercard. You're and just bet it,
man.
And you're either going to lose or you're going to barely win. I'm telling you, it's great. It's a beautiful bet. All right, Parlay Kid, I have a feeling I'm going to go with yours here because I liked it when you hinted at it yesterday.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati here. I know the Bengals here against the Colts. And Cincinnati is just a resilient team, I feel like, right? Like, I think they're a very willed team. They expect to win, and they somehow have kept their season alive. And this is another kind of must win here at home. I know it's a short week for them, but they got a couple things going for them. One, the quarterback has to feel really good about his performance. So, like, you could still say, look, they're riding with a backup, an inexperienced backup, but he has to feel really good. And he did look really good. He passed the eye test the other day. That's for sure. He made all the throws he had to make. And when we look at the Colts, okay, their record is impressive. I mean, they've overachieved greatly this year. Minshew is a good backup. He really is. He's the type of backup every team wishes they had. But let's not over-exaggerate this four-game winning streak that they've had. They've beaten the Panthers. They've beaten the Patriots, the Buccaneers, and the Titans. Four offensively challenged teams, like really offensively challenged teams. And those last three wins have been by a touchdown or less against subpar offenses. The Cincy's offense did look nothing like subpar the other night against what's supposed to be a pretty good Jags defense. I think they're riding high. They feel confident. They're the underdog here at home. They're the dog here. I'm taking Cincinnati to win straight up. I think Minshew, who I like, but every game, let's face it, guys, he throws a big pick or has a big fumble. When he's trying to make a play, that's going to happen again at a big juncture of this game. Cincinnati capitalizes. They win here outright. Cincinnati right. Bengals.
So this is, the Colts are 7-5. I was going to say this knocks them out if they lose, but it definitely knocks the Bengals out. I would say if they lose, I like this pick. Polican, I'm going to go with you for simplicity's sake, because it's a one game and that's for right. The three or four people who are still listening, including Mike Meatballs, who has to listen because he's paid to do so. But I'm going to go with you here. Here's what worries me. Short week. And I wish the defense was a little better. I mean, I wish they were playing like the Patriots defense, like the Jets defense. Yeah. And then you could say like, oh, the offenses don't score. But I loved what I saw out of Browning. I hope he can keep it up. I think he can. But this defense, this last few weeks,
it does worry.
Aside from the Steelers game, they gave up 30 against the Texans, 34 against the Ravens, 31 against the Jaguars. Yeah, I guess those are all three playoff teams.
Thanks, Tony.
But I don't
know. Thanks, Tony.
Romo went nuts. Grady was. Yeah,
they do pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a pretty good job of putting some pressure on the quarterback. That's one thing they do. And I think that will cause, they'll force Minshew into a couple of mistakes here. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going with the Parlay Kid. Let's get this going. Let's get the streak going.
Come on, let's get something going.
Bengals minus 107. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. All right. We did it all, guys. We talked about Patriots, Steelers. We talked about the NBA in-season tournament, Army, Navy. You gave me the Shark Tank picks.
FCS. Song
Dong was mentioned. FCS. Yeah, FCS was brought up.
Nobody covers soccer. Nobody does what we do. Come on.
Dong and Dong and soccer.
There's a reason for it. No.
I'm not even sure how Harry said his name, but
appendix stuff. Yeah, we got it all in the last hour or so. What do we think? Army, Navy, Steelers, Patriots. What's the over-under for total touchdowns? 3.5?
Wow. Four?
Four and a half.
I guess it's got to be more.
It's got to be more, but four.
Five and a half. Oh, my gosh.
Four. Solid four.
My gosh.
Yeah. And so you combine those over-unders. Yeah, that's ugly. That's ugly.
Yeah, probably be five, right? I don't know. All based right. on the lines. Yeah.
Harry, you have a cartoon coming out.
Cartoon coming out. Yep.
You're on a little bit of a streak. Who's making the picks? We're never sure, but you got a streak going, right?
got a streak going. I'm 3-1 my last four. Really, I'm 3-0 in my last three.
But we also established that you didn't pick that over 3 weeks ago.
I don't know if we officially did, but yeah,
I think we
listen,
did.
You, yeah. When the cartoon comes out, it's out on Twitter right now. But also, I'll retweet it and put it out there tomorrow. But on Thursday. But also,
is Angie's mom in this cartoon this week?
She switches back and forth between. Calling him the right
name. Her son-in-law is, then maybe once she knows, then maybe I'll put her in one.
Harry got in trouble for that, by the way. He what did you do? You showed Angie the video?
Yeah, I showed her the video.
Then you knew you were going to get in trouble and you showed her the video of you telling the story?
She always laughs. She's always a good sport about all
she
of
didn't
it.
Like
she,
it.
She was
this time.
A little mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah. This was Harry talking about how over Thanksgiving weekend, his mother-in-law called him Ken the entire time and everybody yelled at her and she apologized. And then she basically said, you made my mother look bad there.
I said, well, look, my name's not Ken.
It's Lover.
Yeah. That's
Lover. That's his name. Lover.
Yeah. That's Lover. There was more to it. Cause you forwarded us the text exchange and it had something to do with, you thought I don't want to end the worst podcast we've ever done with an even bigger downer, but you suggested that maybe she could spank you later.
Yes. I said, listen, I said that, you know, you can, I'll let you spank me later.
All right. She said,
you don't deserve spankings. So
that's good.
Hippity dippity was cut off for a little while.
All right. You see, we got a guy. This is my fault, Darren. Sometimes it's not my fault. This time it was my fault. I can't blame Harry. I set him up.
I mean, it was good last night, though, Dave. It was good last night.
Stop it, Harry. Well, you were leaving town. You know, how often do you get to go away?
Right. Where is he now? Yeah. Where are you now? Why am I not?
I'm in
some cabin.
I'm in Valencia, California tonight.
You're in the woods? What are you doing?
Valencia, California, right around.
He's picking up his car, his new car.
Picking up my new car.
There's no lights at all in there.
I know, there's no lights in this hotel. None at
it's
all.
Like, so it's like Blair Witch Project.
It is.
All right, listen, we're gonna get the light problem figured out.
And a better pod on Tuesday, right, Sal?
We will have a better podcast for you Wednesday. Go Cowboys over the weekend. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs in the D3. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.